take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24. And now, we'll, of course, want you to sit still. If you have an emergency and you need to step out, do that with as little fanfare as possible. Matthew chapter number 24. Once you find Matthew 24, I want you to find verse number 23. And then if you would stand with me, please, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 23. I'm going to read three or four verses to you out loud, and you can follow along. I'll tell you that the title of the sermon is one word. It's the word deceived. Deceived. Matthew chapter number 24, starting with verse 23, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before." Isn't that interesting? That the devil is confident enough that he would try to deceive the very elect. In other words, true born again Christians, the devil will try to fool them. But I don't want you to stop there in your thinking. You know, the devil is cocky enough that he thought he could deceive God. He thought he could deceive God. Now, let me tell you something. If the devil thinks he could deceive God, don't you think he could deceive you? And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Our time is a little short. The sermon is a little strong. Combine the two somehow and help us that we might listen so that we are not deceived by the evil one. Oh God, please, Holy Spirit, help my personality to not get in the road, but might your Holy Spirit do the work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The devil is a master deceiver, and the devil is the father of lies. I'll have to tell you, I was thinking back when I was preparing my sermon, and I was thinking back to a time in my life where I felt very deceived. I was a kid. First of all, I had watched a Wheaties commercial, and there were great athletes that ate Wheaties, and I just knew if I would eat Wheaties, I would be a better athlete. I was so disappointed. So I went from Wheaties to Sugar Frosted Flakes, because at least they tasted better, looked the same, and they did promise to make me great. That didn't work either. I had so looked forward to when Saturday rolled around. Me and my brother always made sure we were home on Saturday morning, because Dad would get paid on Friday night. Mom and Dad would get up on Saturday, and mid-morning we went to the grocery store. I only went for one reason. We were allowed to pick out our box of cereal for the week. That was the one thing that we picked out. My brother would get to pick his out, and I'd get to pick mine out. And I remember when that happened, when we first started the process, I'd seen on television, boy, does television control you. I seen on television Rice Krispies. And there were these three little characters, Snap, Crackle. So you know your Bible around here, don't you? Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Now, some of you younger generation, you don't know what that is, and you're just dumber than a box of rocks. How many of you know who Snap, Crackle, and Pop are? Okay. Well, I was at the store. I was pumped. I was going to, because they had been recommended by Snap, Crackle, and Pop. I mean, Tony the Tiger got me in on Sugar Frosted Flakes, and I've been very, very influenced by the great people of the Bible. Snap, Crackle, and Pop had convinced me that I wanted to get these Rice Krispies, and boy, I was looking, and when you get to the cereal aisle at the store, it's attractive and it's colorful. Well, I'm looking at all these cereals, and I look at that box of Rice Krispies, and it's huge. And when you're a kid, I'm thinking, wow, there must be months of cereal in there, mounds of it. Well, I got it. I ran home, and also sometimes you get a prize. That's cool. But there are times I bought cereal I didn't like to get the prize, and then gave the cereal to my stupid little brother. But I couldn't wait. I got home and I opened up my Rice Krispies. I was so excited. I got to tell you, I felt so deceived when I opened my box. It wasn't even half full. And that day, I thought about starting a cereal company of my own. I thought, somebody needs to make this right. I did. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 7 or 8 years of age, but I was looking forward to a full box of Rice Krispies. I mean, I could have cereal. I could eat it with the possibility of Snap, Crackle, and Pop showing up. My mom could make me Rice Krispie treats. That in the Old Testament, the exegesis of the word manna is Rice Krispie treats, and I'm thinking, wow. But when I opened up my box and my box was half full, I felt deceived. I felt cheated. And they know what they're doing. And we go ahead and buy it anyway, right? You get a little older, you say, nah, I'm cheated. I already know it. There's only a half a box. But to us stupid kids, we're thinking we're getting the whole deal. You know, the devil's the same way. He's a deceiver. Hey, and don't you ever get it in your head that you're too big for the devil to deceive. Let me warn you today that the devil will work overtime to convince you that this sermon's not for you. And the less you want to hear it, probably the more you need it. And the less you feel like it applies to you, probably more truly does it more so apply to you. Probably the ones who will walk away from this sermon the least most affected are the ones that God wanted to be the most affected. You realize that the devil even thought that he could deceive Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, let me read a couple of verses to you. It says, and again, the devil taketh him, which is Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You understand, the devil is cocky enough, arrogant enough, and slick enough that he thought he could pull the wool over the eyes of God himself. He said, I'm going to take you up here and give you the world if you'll worship me. That's what he said to God in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the devil deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, which resulted in the fall of the whole human race. He's a deceiver. He deceived Peter into denying Christ only hours after Jesus had warned him of the possible deception. Do you understand that Jesus was talking to Peter and he said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, it ain't going to happen. 2 hours later, Peter denied him and went, how did that happen? That's pretty powerful deception. He deceived David, the pure one, into becoming impure. He deceived Samson, the strong one, into becoming weak. He deceived Solomon, the wise one, into becoming stupid and unwise. You have any idea how many unwise things Solomon, the wisest man, did? Through the deception of the powerful deceiver. He deceives the great. He deceives the strongest of the strong. He deceives the wisest of the wise. He deceives the most experienced of the experienced. And yet, some will sit here today and greatly admire and respect and agree with this sermon. And you'll be one of the deceived ones. Or whatever you do, don't allow yourself to be deceived about being deceived. The sermon is quite simple. Might I say, first of all, don't be deceived about being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. A hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. James chapter 1, verse number 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, listen to me, church member, hey, deacon, deacon's wife, faithful church attender, Sunday school teacher, bus captain, worker, very deeply involved, long-term Christian, be careful. God said there are people who are deceived because they're hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. Jesus, and understand that just hearing the preaching is not good enough. That's telling you, just hearing the preaching is not good enough. Just hearing preaching does not make you the kind of Christian you're supposed to be. Just because you say amen does not make you right with God. Do you never sincerely use the altar? Do you think that merely listening to a sermon is enough? Now, I believe that God enjoys your verbal or your mental agreement with His Word, but He wants your obedience.
When you hear the preaching of the Word of God and you say, I hear it in my ear, I'm glad. When you shake your head like this, I'm glad. When you say amen, I'm glad. But there are people that hear, that shake their head and say amen and never do anything about it. I've spent my life around people doing this. That will leave the church and go right back out and do the same thing they were doing before they came in the church. They were hearers of the Word only and not doers. Are you deceived because you're a good listener? So I sit up and listen to everything you say, preacher. That's very good. But that will not make you a good Christian. Your ears don't make you a good Christian. Your obedience to what you hear makes you a good Christian. Have you convinced yourself that you're a good Christian just because you came to church? Did you know that Judas sat at the feet of Jesus himself and still was a disloyal, two-faced backstabber? Do you listen with your ears but not with your heart? Do you listen with your ears but not with your will? Hey, does a sermon make your ears tingle, but it never affects your hands or your feet or your wallet or your heart because you're a good listener? But you're not a doer. And the Bible says there are a lot of people that are deceived. They just come to church to be entertained, so the preacher gets up there and says a bunch of words and they do this. Amen. And they walk out and they're the same person walking out as they were and they walked in because all they did was lend their ears to hear some sounds. And he said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Secondly, are you deceived by thinking you have no sin? Are you deceived by thinking you have no sin? In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Deceive ourselves. You know, there are only two kinds of people in this room today. There are saved sinners and lost sinners. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you're still going to commit sins. I hope you don't do it willingly, but you're still going to commit sin. And then if you're lost, you're a lost sinner. But there are saved sinners and lost sinners. But let me tell you something. Those of you that are saved, you should not be satisfied with your Christianity. I don't want to offend you, and I'm not trying to point out a particular part of your life, but I do want to tell you, whoever you are, you're not a finished product, and there's still sin in your life, and it needs to be taken care of. Whatever you do, don't be deceived about whether or not there's sin in your life. So you know, there is. There is sin in your life. You say, Pastor, do you know who you're talking to? Sure. There is sin in your life. You say, but I've been a member of the church for a long time. There's sin in your life. How long has it been since you have had a heavy, heavy, life-changing conviction come upon you? Does that still happen to you? When was the last time you felt bad about a sin that you committed? Every Christian has room to grow. You understand, every Christian has both the sin of commission and the sin of omission. In other words, there are things that they do wrong that sin, and there's the absence of things they're supposed to be doing right that they're not doing, and that's sin. Some think, well, if I'm not doing the wrong, I'm good with God. No, you're not just to not do wrong. You're supposed to not do wrong, and then you're to replace it with the doing of right. And you might think, well, I'm not doing the wrong, which you probably are, but if you are not doing wrong, are you doing all the right that you're supposed to do? There's no such thing as being in a state of sinless perfection. That does not exist for anybody but Jesus Christ. You're still a sinner. Hey, stop right now. Force yourself to answer this question. What sin is in your life right now? Ask yourself this question. What sin is in your life right now? Now, normally, when I would ask a question like that, I would move on. But I don't want to. What sin is in your life right now? There is one. For some of you, there are many. Now, I really do want you to stop and ask yourself, what sin is in my life? Answer the question, not to me, to yourself. But I'm not going to move on until you do it. What sin's in your life? Yeah, there is one, right? Because the Bible says if you say that you have not sinned, you're a liar. What sin's in your life? Well, look up here at me while I preach. What sin's in your life? I really want you to think about it. Have you been deceived into thinking there's not? You spend your whole week thinking there's not? If you look, you'll find it. We can be deceived by thinking because we heard the word. We did what we were supposed to do. I'm sorry. The Bible says don't be deceived into thinking. Hearing the word is what it's all about. It's hearing the word, then obeying the word that you heard. And don't be deceived in thinking you have no sin. Thirdly, may I ask, are you deceived into thinking that you're something when you're nothing? Has the devil deceived you into thinking you're something when you're nothing? In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 3, it says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he's deceived." He's deceived. Have you deceived yourself into believing you're smarter than what you are? Have you deceived yourself into believing that you're more important than what you truly are? How proud are your thoughts? How proud are your words? How proud are your actions? Or how proud is the lack of your actions? I've always believed that when people don't pray, it's a sign of pride. Because evidently then they think they can do it themselves. Humble people are praying people. Why? They know they have to have God. So figure out how proud you are based on how much you pray. I prayed over my food. Well, you're the second coming of the Messiah, aren't you? The lost people pray over their food. There are lost people out there everywhere that'll pray over their food. Hey, are you deceived into believing that you're not the problem? You say, what problem? I don't know. What problem are you facing? What problem are you facing? But it's got to be the other person, right? It's your husband. It's your wife. It's the other person. You say, on what basis? Well, it can't be you. Deceived. Are we deceived into thinking we're something when we're nothing? Are you so proud that you don't need to be faithful to church like the rest of us weak Christians? Are you deceived? Hey, choir member, are you convinced the choir has to have you? Sunday school teacher, are you convinced the Sunday school program has to have you? Are you convinced? Well, I'll tell you what. If the Twin Rivers Baptist Church didn't have me, boy, would they be in sorry shape. If that's your attitude, we might be in sorry shape because of you. Folks, we are nothing. You say, well, compared to who? Jesus. He's everything and we're nothing. The Bible says, let him increase, let us decrease. Are you humble enough to just say, I'm really nothing and it's an honor to be used of God in any way, shape, or form? That's how it ought to be. Hey, the devil's a master deceiver, though. He makes us think if we heard it, we're good. No, God said, if you heard it, now do something about it. That's what makes you good. He's a master deceiver. He'll get you to thinking there's no sin in your life. Well, there is. But he's a master deceiver. He deceives us into thinking we're something when we're actually nothing. You say, but I've been in church a long time. You're just a long-term nothing then. Number four, are you deceived by your own worldly wisdom? Your own worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. There's deception in regard to what? Your worldly wisdom. Hey, did you know that your worldly education is not more powerful than the Bible? I'm glad for you to be educated. Anybody that knows me, I am for education. Very much so. But your IQ does not make you smarter than God, nor does it make you smarter than the Bible. Your worldly wisdom is not more influential than the Spirit of God. There's some of you, you depend on your reasoning above the influence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And here's what happens. The Spirit of God comes and He tries to convince you to do something for God, but your wisdom says, yeah, but that's not necessary because I've got a plan. You're so smart that you don't let God lead you. You're so smart, you've got a plan, but you don't let the Spirit of God determine that plan, and you don't let the Bible determine that plan, because you know what to do. Your worldly wisdom is not more powerful than the Spirit of God. Your worldly wisdom is not more powerful than the Word of God. I don't say this, and probably if this is not true, it would be true because of me. But you're not smarter than the man of God in many instances. And I'm not saying you have a smart man of God. I would say this applies in most cases, maybe not as much to me, but I will tell you this. There are some people, they will not listen to the man of God. The man of God will help you in spiritual matters if you'll let him. If you're not too big for your own spiritual britches. Listen, don't be deceived. If you're successful at something, don't be deceived. Don't let that go to your head. The Bible teaches very clearly, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I was so disappointed when I opened my box of cereal. I was a kid. I felt like Snap, Crackle, and Pop had deceived me. I felt like I'd been given an impression that was not true. And folks, the devil hates you. I promise you, in everybody's life, somewhere, the devil's deception is present right now. Right now. The devil's got you somewhere, got you convinced of something, and it's a bad something, and you took it hook, line, and sinker. Number five, are you deceived by maybe a belief that you will not reap what you have sown? You won't reap what you've sown. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See the word deceived? God puts words in the Bible because they belong in there and they apply to the concept that's being presented. So God said, don't be deceived. If you think you can reap and not, if you think you can sow and not reap, He said, you're deceived. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. Are you not concerned about the outcome of your sin? You really think you can live that way and get away with it? You really think you're going to cover up what you've been doing forever? You really think that it's not going to come home to roost? What's wrong with you? Are you so blind to think you're getting away with it? God said, be not deceived. What you sow, it's coming. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, it's coming. God doesn't always pay on Friday, but He always pays. You think you can play with sin and get away with it? You say, well, I'm getting away with it. Gotten away with it for a while. There's some of you not getting away with it. Not only does God know, there are other people that know. But by the mercy of God, you've been treated gently. But you will reap. Say, what makes you so sure? It's in the book. You think you can control yourself and control your lust, but boy, it'll take you over. If you sow, you'll reap. Well, let me make that simple. You express hatred, you're probably going to reap hatred somewhere along the way. You don't forgive, somewhere along the way somebody's not going to forgive you. You cheat, you will be cheated upon. You gossip. You know why some of you hate somebody's talking bad about you right now and you just hate it. Well, maybe you should have kept your mouth shut in times past. And instead of getting mad at them, won't you get mad at yourself for creating the reaping process under which you find yourself now? You steal now? Something will be stolen from you later. Lie now, be lied to later. Deceive now, be deceived later. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yep, that's what it means. You quit on someone now, somebody will quit on you later. You won't be satisfied now, somebody won't be satisfied with you later. Be disloyal now, you're going to experience some disloyalties. Be unfaithful, later on somebody's going to be unfaithful. Have you been spiritually deceived into believing that your negative payday will never come? The devil blinds our today, so we won't see what's coming in our tomorrow. But don't be deceived about it. Number six, are you deceived about your tongue and it being out of control? The Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. And the Bible's talking about controlling your mouth. Don't be deceived. There are some of you, you don't control your mouth. There are people who hate to see you coming because you're just so negative all the time. People want to avoid you because you're gossipy, you're critical. But if you can't control your tongue, the Bible even goes on and it says, this man's religion is vain, James 1:26. We're talking about your conversations, your tongue, your texting, your Facebook, any of your social networking participation that's negative and critical and that way. Your negative comments cloaked in concern are very clear to God. You know, you know the prayer request, pray for old so-and-so because of yak, and you cloak it in a prayer request where what you're really doing is stabbing somebody between their shoulder blades with your gossip. Hey, the Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Be careful with your tongue. You need to learn how to use your tongue right. You need to use your tongue for the edification of people. And we can be deceived. And folks, let me tell you something. The tongue, the Bible says, it is set on fire of hell. Are you deceived by your tongue and your mouth and what you say? Hey, not only that, are you deceived about the danger of wrong associations? And again, 1 Corinthians 15:33, I'll give you a verse that says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So the Bible's saying that when you get around the wrong kind of people, you are corrupting yourself. Be not, and the word deceived is there, be not deceived, evil communications, that's evil associations, corrupt. They corrupt. You think you can run with dogs and not wake up with fleas. You think you can play with pigs but not get a curl in your tail. You think you can have a skunk as a friend and not smell bad. You'll read the liberals but not become one. And that's not true. You're being corrupted. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's the kind of preaching I do when it's real pointed and pungent. That's reproving. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And if you ought to come on Wednesday nights and hear the sermons on separation, it would help you a lot. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from the appearance of evil. I didn't say abstain from evil. God said you ought to know that. Any knucklehead knows you stay away. You don't become evil. God said, but you ought to even have the sense to abstain from the appearance of. The appearance of. There are people in here, and I don't necessarily know who you are. There's some here that you need to change some friendships because you're friends with people that are destroying you. Ask yourself this. Is your friend filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, maybe your friend ought to ask that about you. Bad friendships will destroy you just like they destroy everybody else. Man, there's somebody in here, you desperately need what I just said. It will not change you a lick. You say, why? Well, you're deceived. That doesn't apply to you. That's not you. Can't be you. Can't be that friend. Can't be. No way. What friend are you talking about? But the Bible does say, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt. Not only that, be careful that you're not deceived about your salvation.
The Bible says in Matthew 7, 21 and 23 through 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You know, there are people that think they're going to heaven, and they're not. Let me explain. Behind me here, behind that curtain, is a baptistry, and there's water in it. And we baptize people here. This is a Baptist church. But you don't go to heaven by getting baptized. Not in this church, not in any church on the face of the earth. You say, "I got sprinkled." I'm glad you did. You probably needed a shower. But it didn't save you. You need to be born again. So I'm a member of a church. I'm glad. I'm a member of Sam's Club. And my Sam's Club membership is just as apt to get me into heaven as your church membership is to get you in. At least I'll go happy. Because you can buy a lot of cake stuff and with your Sam's Club membership. Did you know that there are people that are trying to convince you that if you'll give money to the church, you'll go to heaven? That's a lie. I believe in tithing. The Bible teaches it, but it's never gotten anybody to heaven. You say, "I do good works." I think you should. You say, "I helped a little old lady across the street." I think you should, especially if she was your wife. But that won't get you to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach good works get you to heaven. And nowhere in the Bible does it teach that baptism gets you to heaven. And nowhere in the Bible does it teach that church membership gets you to heaven. And nowhere in the Bible does it teach that tithing gets you to heaven. You say, "Well, I live separated in this life." Separation does not save you. Cleaning yourself up does not save you. You'll be saved by the clean one. And that's Jesus Christ. He does the saving, you do the letting. And that's all there is to it. Say, "Well, Pastor, I was in a situation, I was in a car wreck, and I just know that God salvaged my life. I lived through it. And I've known I'm going to heaven ever since then. I'm sorry, the fact that you were spared from a physical death does not mean you're saved and going to heaven." The kind of salvation the Bible's talking about is not just that you made it through the heart attack or you made it through the car accident or you survived cancer. The Bible's talking about you're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He was a sinless sacrifice, and there was a day when you turned to Him and said, "I know I'm a sinner and I want you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior." And He saved you when you asked Him. That's salvation. The fact that they used the paddles and shocked your heart and brought you back to life, you say, "I was saved." Your body was, but that didn't mean your soul was. You say, "Well, preacher, I've been in church so long, I don't even remember getting saved. I just always have been." Sorry, that's too long. Nobody always has been. Everybody always has been lost until they get saved. But there's not an always has been salvation. You have to get saved. You see, the devil's a deceiver, and he's a good one. He's the best. Hey, I'm done. Could I recommend that you don't allow yourself to be deceived about being deceived? I wonder how many will not respond and make changes in their life as a result of this sermon who were supposed to. You heard it and ignored it again. "I sat through many services like this." Yeah. And remain deceived. It's just another week through another church assembly line for you. Go set, listen, leave, don't change. Go to church and set, listen, leave, don't change. Go to church and set, listen, leave, don't change. Go to church and set, listen, leave, don't change. You know the church assembly line. Deceived. Deceived. "For there shall arise false prophets and false Christs, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect." I hope you've not allowed the devil to deceive you. I was so disappointed when my Rice Krispie box was half full. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. For some of you, The devil has sold you a half full box, and you have swallowed hook, line, and sinker his lie. I wish some of you would step up, shake off a little bit of that deception, so that you could be the really the kind of Christian you ought to be. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is this. Are you born again? Are you saved? I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you've got a Bible. I'm not asking if you prayed over your breakfast. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, I do not know that, then I'd get saved. I'd get born again. Say, I'm religious. I'm glad you are, but you need to be saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I'll not let the devil deceive me. I need to be born again. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to be born again. I've seen at least one hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not born again. Pray for me. That's me. If you're not born again, in a moment, we'll give an altar call. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Listen to me. Those of you that claim to be saved are born again. Has the devil deceived you in some area of your life? Could you take a moment and face it? You say, well, I'm not out there committing a bunch of them sins. Yeah, maybe you don't feel like you're committing, but what have you omitted? What are you supposed to be doing that you're not? I hope God's spoken to your heart. I hope this isn't another day at the church assembly line. Come in, sit down, listen, leave. No change. Who here would say, Pastor, God has specifically spoken to my heart this morning? Would you let God see your hand? He has specifically spoken to my heart this morning. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. Christian, do business with God. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you maybe need to get on your knees for a second and say, I see an area of deception in my life. I need to take care of that. When I ask you to zero in and find the sin in your life, what was that? Are you going to do something about it? Did you face the devil face to face about what sin is in your life? Are you going to walk away and go right back to it? Wow, does he have you suckered in. You say, I faced it. God doesn't want you just to face it. He wants you to leave it. Repent of it. Get away from it. I just call the sermon deceived. And believe me, if in Matthew chapter 4, the devil is smart enough to think that he can deceive Jesus Christ. He thought he could fool Jesus. Well, God knows, if he thought he could fool Jesus, he's trying to fool me and you. Matter of fact, what area does he have you deceived? Is it about being a hearer but not a doer? Is it about not having sin in your life? Is it about thinking you're something when you're nothing? Is it your worldly wisdom? You're just too smart for God and you don't think you're going to reap what you've sown? You don't think your tongue is out of control? You don't think your Facebook page or whatever you call that thing is out of control? You don't see the truth about your associations destroying your life? I would recommend that there's somebody in here, if you don't listen to what I just said about your associations, somebody you're attached to is going to destroy your marriage, they're going to destroy your health, they're going to destroy your life, and you're going to look back and say, that old-fashioned preacher told me, but I wouldn't listen to him. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Are you deceived about your salvation? Don't be deceived. If you're saved, you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, congratulations. If you're depending on anything other than Jesus Christ to save you, you're not saved. You say, man, I've been around church for a long time. What would people think if I admitted I never truly been saved? They'd be happy for you if you got born again. That's what would happen. This is the last time through the song. In a moment, we'll be on our way. Deceived. if you'll look back up at me. When I opened my box of cereal and I realized I was only getting half of what I thought I was getting, I felt cheated. I really felt cheated. I'm going to promise you, if you let the devil deceive you, he's taken from you. And all the benefit you thought that was coming your way through the deception, it's not. There's not going to be a prize in the bottom of the box for you. You're going to end up shortchanged. And eventually you'll look back and say, I'm devastated at what he took from me. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a cheat. He hates you. And he's trying to take you to the cleaners. If you had any good sense, you'd say, that's it. I'm not going to let him deceive me. And let God guide your life.